Education in America has failed our children, our families, our communities, and our nation. The hopes of leaving no child behind has left children feeling bored and listless. We find that instead of helping children reach their potential, our schools are stamping out generations who can't think for themselves and look to experts and social media influencers to tell them what to do and how to think. In this video, I'm sharing the ideas of an educator who lived more than 100 years ago. Her name is Charlotte Mason. She applied classic principles for education that can actually be applied to every generation. Her common sense approach should not be ignored in our tech-savvy world. In fact, we need to move back to the fundamentals of what it means to be human, what we believe a true education embodies, and to raise the standard of education not only for our children, but also for ourselves, so that we can all flourish together. I'm Joy Cherick, and I am a Charlotte Mason home educator. The best weapon against this type of education that makes us slaves to groupthink and cultivates disinterested, unmotivated, bored human beings is an education that is good for child and adult alike, challenges the gifted and inspires the bored, is interesting on its own without great tricks and great effort by the teacher, allows the teacher to move into more of a coaching or facilitator role, leads children to take ownership of their own education. This is self-education. So what does an education applying some of the principles that Charlotte Mason discovered look like in practice? So for a very young child, it will look like reading aloud to them amazing books that bring other time periods and cultures to life, and then having them sit and perhaps draw a picture about what they heard, or they could even just tell back orally what they've heard. Now, the older child will be able to read books for himself, and then might write an essay just about what happened. This is called a narration. It's just basically writing about what happened in the story. And it's so simple, but it is such an important skill that has really gotten lost in our formulaic educational system. Another practice that is used and is so essential is the focus on skill work, bringing it back to reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's that simple. We have to remember that children learn at their own pace. We don't run behind our crawling baby and try to make him or her walk at our schedule. No, we wait and we watch them get stronger, and we might see that they're really good with their hands first and they're really not as interested in walking yet. We don't harass our younger children to do that. Let's not do that with the skills that really happen in a developmental level with an older child. So the last two practices within a Charlotte Mason education include feeding the mind with great ideas. And this might come from books. It might come from exploring nature firsthand. It might come from listening to beautiful music played or studying great pieces of art and understanding where the child is in history so that they will then have a relationship with both the past and can start to have a vision for themselves for the future. And finally, the practice that is so essential to a Charlotte Mason education is keeping the lesson short. And this will allow a child to not get exhausted. Let's take a closer look at Charlotte Mason's ideas, because she studied broadly and thought deeply and spent her entire life a student of both the child and educational theory. Charlotte Mason says that children are born persons and that we should treat them as such. And what this means is that all children have dignity as image bearers of God, no matter how small. It's kind of like the Dr. Seuss story where he says, a person's a person, no matter how small. In Genesis, we are told that humans were made as image bearers of God. And this is a great honor. And with great honors come great responsibility. God wants a relationship with us, and he hasn't left us without help. He has given us the Holy Spirit that will help to teach us. And sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit's function in education. We really try to meddle and force and push. And we don't realize that the helper is there as an aid to the child as well as the adult. Our education then is to learn to be citizens of God's kingdom. And through this, we lead children to God's word to help them understand and be led directly to their maker. What tools do we have to carry out such a monstrous task? Well, Charlotte Mason says that there are actually three important tools that we have at our disposal: the atmosphere of environment, the discipline of habit, and the presentation of living ideas. So let's start with the first one, the atmosphere of environment. What this means is the tone or the mood of a home or even a schoolroom, where it is full of love and encouragement and happy faces, smiles, and joy even. You may have heard the expression, you could cut the tension with a knife. This is referring to an atmosphere that is not thriving and healthy. It is more of a unpleasant place to be. A home or a school with a Christian worldview should be a place where mistakes are just part of life. And there is lots of grace and joy and laughter, where respect for child to adult, but also adult to child, is the bar that we're striving for. So next we're going to look at the discipline of habit. So in our culture, we have a do what feels right attitude. And what this leads us to is not even expecting enough out of ourselves. We say, I can't, or, oh, this is too hard, before we've even tried something. One of my favorite quotes is, let us not despise the day of small things, nor grow tired of doing good. So it is within those small moments, the wiping down the sink, or putting the dishes away, or clearing the table. All of these disciplines of habit actually start to shape us, and they shape our character. This is challenging work. Establishing habits, it is an uphill battle. But once you get at the top, then you start to fall in line, almost like a train on tracks, and it becomes easier, and you're able to build more habits. And this is that foundation that is so essential for a thriving, flourishing human life. This is challenging work, but we know that mothers work wonders once we know that wonders are required of us. And then the third tool that we have at our disposal is the presentation of living ideas. And now this is where the fun and the life come in, is we're learning how to live well. We don't want to just be bumps on the log watching television all the time. We want to feel a full life, full of friendships, full of being engaged in our communities, full of climbing trees, and we want our children to be playing in the dirt and exploring God's creation. The world we are given in America is entirely too small. We depend and just way too much on the experts to educate us. Remember, we have the Holy Spirit. We are image bearers of God. We have the Bible at our disposal. Those things can help to educate us. And finally, to conclude, education is about relationships. That's why it's messy. Relationships are messy. We have relationships with parent and child. That is education. We have a relationship with parent and teacher, with teacher and student, with the past and the present. We have relationships with the tree and understanding how the ant uses the tree. The education, Charlotte Mason says, is a science of relations, or a science of relationships. Leonardo da Vinci said, "Learn to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else." We build relationships with art, nature, characters from books, music, and then we're able to bring those with us along our journey through life. They build us. They shape who we are and how we see the world. A true education allows children to make a relationship with a great many things. So I'll leave you with a quote by Charlotte Mason from her book entitled School Education. It is one of a 6-volume series. "But we hold that all education is divine, that every good gift of knowledge and insight comes from above, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is the supreme educator of mankind, and that the culmination of all education, which may at the same time be reached by a little child, is that personal knowledge of an intimacy with God in which our being finds its fullest perfection." Now see how this education is not about lists. It is not about academics in the way that there are a set things that everyone must know. It has more to do with a relationship with God and with what He has created and with one another. We want more for our children than worksheets and textbooks and being told how to stand in line. We want them to thrive. We want to give them life. That's all for today. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next time.